Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sour of the Greg Hill Show brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and the Ram Big Finish Event.
It should be noted that according to the reporting on the original Spygate scandal, when the Patriots had a systematic process in place to unfairly record opposing teams' sideline signals, whatever it was, that according to the Don Van Natta reporting, they were told, if you are caught, tell them it is for a team show.
You pull the rug right out from under my life. I know where you go to. I knew when you came home last night.
Such a great ear, Ma.
Cause your eyes had a mist from the smoke of a distant fire.
So Derek, the Steelers fan, I guess, agrees with our friend Nick Wright, who you just heard there from FS1. And where there is smoke, Derek says, with regard to the Patriots cheating, there is fire. But an allegation, somewhat of a Patriots cheating allegation, I guess, surfaced yesterday. And whether or not they were intentionally filming some kind of sideline signals or not, it's obviously a mistake on their part to not inform everybody of exactly what is going on.
Right.
I mean, that's like if you're, Danielle, we addressed this earlier. If you're a boyfriend and you've been caught cheating and you're going to go out to some kind of a bar room with a random woman, don't you make it clear to your girlfriend what you're going to do ahead of time so that she knows?
So that there's no confusion.
So there's no confusion whatsoever, Wiggy.
Yeah, but I think when in their statement, it's one of those things where, well, it was just an innocent, we're going out to have a drink. Because the one line that stands out is when they said, we understand and acknowledge that our video crew, which included independent contractors, who shot the video unknowingly violated a league policy by filming the sidelines from the press box.
Right.
So they probably didn't know all the league rules because it's a million league rules. So they say, go on here, hey, we got permission from the Browns, you know, shoot some footage, get some B-roll, and then, you know, which is failed, and here's what the advanced scout does. And unknowingly,
they didn't know the rules that you couldn't film the sideline?
Yeah.
You're a Patriots employee?
Yeah, it's like when the boyfriend that I'm talking about unknowingly makes out with a random chick at the bar.
Oh, no. Right.
I have the Don Van Natta story that Nick Wright was referencing.
Yes.
So this is 2015. Soon, advanced scouts would be sent to the games of upcoming Patriots opponents to film the play signals. The scouts would go undercover as media members with media credentials listed under Patriots TV or Kraft Productions, and were prepared with excuses of what to say they were filming if security of the other team asked.
So this individual identified himself, I believe it's a him, as representing Kraft Productions.
Right.
That's in line with that. And then informed them that they were filming an episode of Do Your Job, and they were following a Patriots scout. That was the job that they were documenting for this program.
They were trying to get to the bottom of the Malcolm Butler benching.
I mean, all the research you and Curtis did on this poor Baltimore official. Let's find out who this independent contractor is. Let's track him down, his wife and kids, and smear him across the airwaves.
This is John from Providence. What's up, John?
Hey, Greg. Love the show, guys. Daniel,
John,
how are you?
Hello, John.
John, how is the show being received in Providence? I don't believe we get Providence ratings till like the fall or something, or the spring or something.
Greg, everybody in my office, everyone in my company, they love it, Greg. Honestly, it's unbelievable. The Hillman show was tough to get in Providence.
Yes.
I travel a lot, so I always listen. I always went against you and Callahan anyway, I love. You guys coming here has been phenomenal. It's been great in Rhode Island. Everyone's been talking about it.
All right. Well, spread the word down there. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, Greg, being a long-time listener, I just want to say this before I get into the Patriots. Nobody, every time I hear the word diehard, I think of Derek. He should have trademarked that. know. But I'm going to be honest. Patriot lover, New England lover, but why? Why even put yourself in that situation and, of all things, putting it on when you're playing the next team? I don't agree with Ken on anything, but he's 100% right on this one.
Meaning that it was just, if there was nothing nefarious going on, nothing evil intended, it's a stupid thing for them to do is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Greg, not only that, if you're going to put it on this production team, then where's their responsibility? You mean to tell me with everything we've been through with this franchise, on the cheat and on the tape, the spy gate and everything else, you're going to put yourself in that predicament, or you're going to put your team in that situation?
Yeah.
I just don't get it. I just do not get that at all.
No, it's not smart.
But see, that goes back to Curtis's original point, where I don't think they were doing anything intentional, because it comes off as people going, well, why would they put themselves in that predicament? I think there was just, this was the game that they chose to video this advanced
scout. They just happened to choose Cleveland, Cincinnati, when they're playing Cincinnati this week.
Yep, that's but it just doesn't, because when you look at it, you go, so are they really that dumb?
I don't know.
Or arrogant.
Or arrogant. Mm.
They can't be that arrogant.
Right.
They know what the country is going to write and say about their dynasty. If this
they
is
don't
one,
care.
Yes,
what?
They do.
No,
why'd no. they do the Wells report in context if they didn't care?
All anybody ever talks about is how Bill could care less about what anybody thinks.
That is
all he
such
cares about,
a lie.
All he cares about is winning.
That is, you don't think Bill Belichick, who is currently a part of the NFL 100 series, cares about his legacy and what people will be saying about him when he's gone? Only thing he ever cared about was the history and the greatness of the NFL, and that he's the greatest coach of all time, which is why we think he's going to coach long enough to surpass Shula with the most wins all time. This means a lot to him.
Do you think that Bill Belichick has ever, during his time here with the New England Patriots, has ever been aware that things were being done that may have skirted the line of the rules?
He always says, do business as business is being done. And that's why he was doing that back in the early 2000s.
He's looking for the advantage.
Was filming signals.
Yeah, he's looking for the advantage.
He's looking for the advantage, and he's trying to, you know, he's trying to figure out, can we take an advantage? Is there a loophole in here that we could take advantage of that might give us an advantage? Give us an edge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the whole big thing with the Baltimore Ravens some years back with the formation.
Right.
Remember that?
Yes.
And it was like, so, well, we're looking and we're seeing, can you run this formation?
Right. That's when Harbaugh lost his S.
Right. And then initially the advantage was, okay, if we can film some sideline signals and maybe get an advantage because coaches are dumb enough to use the same signals week in and week out, we'll take a shot at it.
This is Mike from Framingham. Yes, Mike.
How you doing? That guy that called earlier said he was a football coach. First off, Wiggy, you're saying it 500,000 times, but it's not sinking in. It doesn't matter. You film it from different locations, you're still getting the same information.
Right.
Because there's no competitive advantage. So if I film it from the press box or someplace else, it doesn't matter.
Well, Wiggy's contention is that there are 70,000 people at the game who are seeing who are seeing the
and
signals.
And you get those game films.
So you don't, and you don't have to, and you get the game films.
Have you ever seen an all 22?
Yes.
You can see everything
you
on an all
22. You cannot. You cannot see the sidelines and the coaches.
Yes, you can.
You cannot.
Because the angle is from the back. You get a nice view from the back. And what, you know, you're looking for maybe some personnel that's going in on a hand signal. Maybe it's, you know, if you can get a hand signal and see what type of defensive
front. It's so far away. You can't see hand signals on all 22s. Are
listen,
you insane?
There's things that you do. There's things that you do. I know that there are guys that go to YouTube to see if they can hear the audio to pick up snap counts.
Oh, I mean, well, why are they doing that? It must mean something then.
Well, you see if you can get a competitive edge and advantage in listening to audio or those type of things. But when I go back to the Curtis thing point, because I think it's the, you know, he's spot on to put yourself in a
which he rarely is.
Right. And so, you know, let's give him his shine, okay?
Yeah.
Let's let him gloat, you know, give him that gloat. When you are in a situation where everybody in the country is looking to shoot you off the top of the mountain,
to bust you as a cheater or to bring you down.
Why would you and anyway, put yourself in that position?
Because you can't help it. Because you can't help yourself. Because that's what you do. Because you're looking for every single advantage.
So now, Jacoby Myers is currently your wide receiver.
So here are the two choices that you have in your world, Greg, that you're living in. A, they're just dumb, stupid.
They made a mistake.
B, not made a mistake. They're just dumb and stupid. Right?
Well, they made a mistake. They admitted to making two mistakes.
But I'm saying in the world that you and Ken are living in,
yeah.
And B, you're just so arrogant that you feel like you're Teflon and nothing's going to stick to you.
Well, because there's people like you who are honking your way through this as if it's no big deal. I tend to agree with Ken, which is, I don't know what happened.
But I look at the evidence.
I don't know what happened, but I think it's odd that the Patriots put out a statement and the so-called journalists disappear immediately and say, oh, okay, well, that was no big deal. Glad we got that cleared up.
I mean, at least see the tape, right? Aren't you at least curious about that? What's on there?
You have to put out a statement. They turned it over. If there was reports that they didn't want to turn over the tape, then you might go, well, wait a second here. But they initially turned it all over. So you're looking at it and go, all right, show me the tapes. But at the end of the day, the way it's done in the press box in front of everybody with guys wearing Patriots logos on their shirts, they ain't doing anything.
Let's investigate these guys, these independent contractors. Let's see where do they have a connection to the Belichicks or not.
This is Steve from Winchester. Hello, Steve.
Hey, ladies, gentlemen, how are you
What's
today?
Up? What's
Hello.
Up? What's up?
Listen, they didn't try to hide anything. They're in Patriots uniforms. But number one, if they want to nitpick at this because the Patriots are, you know, everybody wants to knock them off their pedestal, how come nobody is talking about the way the Houston Astros stole the World Series from the Washington Nationals?
We did talk about it.
Yeah, right? But it was like a blip on the radar.
Nobody's talking about it in the news anymore. I mean, they talked about it for a couple days.
Yeah, you're right. Right.
Doug Kayyad's covering all Astros the rest of the year. He's not going to be touching the Patriots.
It was like a baby pimple on the booty. You just scratched it and kept moving.
This is you're talking about Astney. Hello, Eddie. What's up, Eddie?
Astney.
What's up, Eddie?
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's going on?
Pop it.
So from what I understand, this year's Do Your Job is about the behind the scenes guys. And they wanted to film the advanced scout, which is stupid to begin with. But they chose the Bengals on purpose because they didn't think that they're a playoff team. So they didn't think it was going to cause any idea of cheating because, why would they even have to do it against the Bengals? Because if they did it against the Ravens or the Chiefs or any other team, it would have been way worse.
Okay. I could see that. The problem is it comes after back-to-back losses. So
it comes against the Cincinnati Bengals, who they've been having a great season, and it's clearly...
No, I'm just telling you, the problem is, perception-wise, it comes after back-to-back losses. It comes when Bill is being questioned on his desperation based on that challenge the other night. So it comes where there are some who have the opportunity to look at it and go, wow, is this guy so concerned and so desperate that he is going to resort to this against the lowly Cincinnati Bengals?
No.
That's the problem.
Here are your options, Greg. Either he is cheating to beat the Bengals at the risk of ruining and tarnishing a legacy and a dynasty he has spent 20 years building, or this was just a miscommunication. Those are the two options.
That's it. Right. And for you to pander and go, well, hold on now. Hold on.
I'm not supposed to offer the opportunity for people to share their opinions.
Because Curtis is right. You have two options. But what you guys are doing, and I'm throwing you into this category, Greg, because you're right there with Ken. You're saying, oh, wait a second. Let's create a third option. Let's create the pandering option. Why?
Of gathering information.
Would Bill Belichick, I mean, you cheated before.
Has he?
Well, this is what you're telling
me. Has he cheated before?
This is what you tell me.
No,
Spygate.
I'm asking you to give an opinion.
He's probably bent the rules.
Haven't we
all bent the rules, man? To get a competitive advantage.
First of all, has he cheated before, and has it affected his legacy? Really, no. He's on the NFL 100. No, I'm telling you, Ken, has it?
Nationally, of course it has. I know Hall of Fame voters, NFL writers, who say Belichick cheater.
All right, so maybe
Don Shula calls him Belichick cheater.
So maybe,
so maybe he doesn't care then.
Maybe he maybe he doesn't care whether it affects his legacy.
I think he looks at it like if you've looked at it from the outside, you're basically saying, hey, this is something that everybody did. It was in front of 80,000 people. Is it cheating? No, it's bending the rules. Did we bend the rules? Did we look for gray areas? Did we look to see if we can get a competitive advantage? Yeah, but everybody was doing it the same way with the whole football situation, right? The whole Deflategate. Everybody was doing it. I mean, we heard Eli Manning talk about how he put his footballs, you know, in an oven to make them hotter.
Well, yeah, and Aaron Rodgers inflates his footballs.
Right,
and
so
yes,
there's always a competitive edge. We saw on video the Minnesota Vikings on the sidelines with heating up their footballs during a game. So you always take advantage. The problem is when you won as much as the Patriots, no one wants to give you credit for actually winning. They want to say, well, the only reason why you won is because of your cheating and competitive advantage.
Wiggy just mentions the Vikings because he loves Lizzo.
Yes.
You seen her courtside?
Was she courtside?
Oh, you haven't seen her courtside?
No.
She had her old ass out at the Lakers game.
Oh, she did?
She had like ass, you know, the assless chaps.
Yeah.
But she had like a dress.
Wiggy was doing advanced scouting.
No.
We're on to Megan Thee Stallion.
She's a BBBB.
By the way, I can't believe we've gone a whole hour and 20 minutes without you mentioning the huge Dolomite news from yesterday. So we got to get to that. We will. We will get to that. And right now, we got to get to what is trending.
Listen to Tom Brady's interview anytime on the radio.com app. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Red River Technology. Technology decisions are not black and white. Think red. Visit redriver.com to learn more. Proud sponsors of the Skate Pod, I might add, with Chris Knuckles Nylon taping today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right.
We like Knuckles. Bruins dropped their third in a row last night, by the way, in Ottawa, 5-2.
You should get LB on the Skate Pod.
God, I would love to. LB came on Skate on the weekend, one weekend, and then the next week he was going to come on and didn't show up. But then I had no idea.
LB didn't show up for a commitment?
He did have attendance issues.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah, he did.
Wiggy so far has been spotless. He's never missed, never been late. So
excellent.
You compare him to LB? Not yet. Patriots have accepted full responsibility for one of their production crews inappropriately filming the Bengals sideline from the press box. OMF had Bill Belichick on just after this news broke. Here's a little bit of that exchange.
Albert Breer reporting the NFL official took the Pats video guy's SD card away from the camera. Are you aware of that? Or?
Yeah, I think that from what I understand, that we've given them everything that whatever they were doing there for the TV show, whatever it was, that they've given them everything. Again, I have no idea what really this is about or you know, what the any specifics on it. All I know is what I've been told, and yeah, I'm sure that they gave them everything that they wanted.
Nothing to see here.
Mm-hmm.
Move along.
I do think there's a third option. Belichick might not have known. Maybe this was an underling. I think that's a possibility. Could have been Steve Belichick.
Somebody trying to curry favor.
Yeah, sure.
From behind the scenes, maybe.
Absolutely. Monday Night Football, Eagles came back to beat the Giants 23-17. Giants fell to 2-11. And, of course, the sad passing of Pete Frates, the Beverly Man, former Boston College baseball captain, changed the trajectory of the search for a cure for ALS. Over the fundraising, charitable initiatives, $220 million worldwide raised by Pete Frates and his charitable associations.
Just an amazing legacy.
Yep.
And you think back to the Ice Bucket Challenge, mm-hmm. and the entire world participated in that, and the way he dealt with what he was facing with that grace and that dignity and that courage is an inspiration to everybody. An amazing, amazing man, an amazing story.
Pete Frates was 34 years of age. You can go to petefrates.com/donate to extend expressions of sympathy or consider making a donation.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI. It's time for...
Good morning.
The news.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
With your host...
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Because I am good at three things. Fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic.
There's more good news today.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Fake news.
At the Northeast Men's Clinic, they specialize in the sexual health of men. Learn more at northeastmensclinic.com or call 617-793-5000. By the way, before we get to the important news, Wiggy, the Golden Globe nominations came out yesterday.
Yep.
And Dolomite.
Dolomite.
Was nominated for Best Motion Picture.
Yes, musical or comedy.
Yeah.
And.
Way down in the jungle.
Eddie Murphy also got a nomination for Best Actor, Musical or Comedy for Dolomite.
For Dolomite, which is, in case you weren't listening, Wiggy told us all about Dolomite. I had no idea about Dolomite. And there's another thing, too, that I can't believe I missed on Netflix that got the most nominations, which I think is called The Marriage or something like that. And I don't know how I've missed it. I mean, there's nothing on television that I have personally missed.
You missed Dolomite.
I missed Dolomite, yeah. I missed Dolomite.
Ken said The Mandalorian.
Well, yeah.
That's on purpose because we don't hate Kenzie.
I purposely am not watching.
Marriage Story.
Well,
I haven't seen it.
Are they saying anything? Like, I mean, got the most nominations, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. For anything on Netflix.
Anything on Netflix. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Did we happen to figure out how and why Tom Hanks... was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for the Mr. Rogers movie? Isn't he the star of the Mr. Rogers movie? That was the strangest thing yesterday.
Evidently, it's not a straight biopic.
Uh-huh.
So the movie more closely follows the story of the journalist. And Mr. Rogers kind of acts as a therapist to him. Because that confused me at first, too. But I hadn't seen the movie yet. But after doing a little digging, it seems like that's the case.
Oh, okay.
Still don't get how people are infatuated with the Mr. Rogers movie.
What do you mean?
He's just a regular dude.
Well, like, everybody grew up. Everybody grew up with
Mr. Nice guy.
Did you not grow up with Mr. Rogers?
I mean, yeah, I know who he is. But really? It's not like, you know.
What do you mean you know who he is?
Yeah.
How old are you?
44.
44?
Yeah, I mean.
Sounds like you were about to lie.
Mm-hmm. No, 44.
I mean, you hesitated there for a
minute. Why would I lie?
I don't know.
I look great for my age. I mean, what would I lie about? I've been all the time. I tell people 44. They're like, really? I'm like.
I mean, about to be 45.
Yeah, about to be 45.
When's your birthday week?
January 18th.
We should have a birthday party for you.
Let's do it.
Like a show birthday, like a breakfast birthday party or something for you on the show.
Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen that Mr. Rogers movie. A lot of people say that they cried during it because I think because they love Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers basically brought them up. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, we should get to the real news. What do you want to talk about, Danielle?
Let's talk about the MBTA and how safety is not a priority, according to a new report that was released. The T hired a panel of transit experts in June, and they were looking at everything related to the T, fiscal management, safety management, et cetera, et cetera. And they released the report yesterday, and they said that the T does perform the necessary core functions to be considered a safe system, but many aspects of their approach to safety and operations need immediate attention. Now, Tim Lasker is one of the union reps, and he spoke up yesterday.
It's common sense. This is management 101. Deal with your employees. Encourage your employees. Talk to them. It's not going to change unless they start talking to the workforce, and they're not doing that.
Well, I mean, there's always been safety issues. I don't know. I guess when it comes to the governor or whoever is in charge, maybe Stephanie Pollack, they ought to be focusing first and foremost on safety.
You would think.
Yeah. That'd be the number one thing.
That would be the number one thing. Second would be making sure that they could find a way to get the trains to actually physically run.
Right.
When they're supposed to be running. But safety should be a big priority there.
Here's the governor about this.
One of the reasons you do a deep dive review like this is to find out where your issues and your opportunities are. And that's exactly what this report represents.
How much money have we spent on reports about the MBTA that tell us the same exact thing over and over again?
Millions.
I should be. Millions. Politics is the way to go. It seems like there's a ton of morons doing it. They get paid a ton of money, and nobody can ever figure out how to fix the problem. And Governor's like, yeah, let's do a deep dive. It's not that difficult.
Yeah.
Hey, it's about safety and making sure that we got this giant metal tube with, you know, thousands of people on it traveling every day. Well, let's get them where they needed to be from point A to point B, safe as possible.
Well, I mean, think about what's happened recently. You got the doors that are opening mid-transit.
Correct.
People, like, have to hold on for dear life. You got smoke. Like, all of a sudden, the cabin is full of smoke, or the car is full of, I mean, it's obviously an issue for them. What, so, and Stephanie Pollack has had her share of issues. I mean, she had the, she oversaw the registry, and we know how that was mishandled.
Well, isn't she like the third person they hired for?
Well, she's the Secretary of Transportation, so she's in the cabinet. But
the MBTA, didn't they hire like three people already?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the this is not necessarily the best look or for this administration.
No, it's not. Yeah. Revisiting Curtis's lead, just got to go back to that because it's an important local story this morning. Pete Frates passed away yesterday at the age of 34. He was, of course, a huge advocate for ALS research, looking to find a cure. Pete was the inspiration behind the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, with tons of people participated in, you know, summer of 2014 and the following summer.
Yeah.
About 17 million people around the world participated in that to raise like $250 million in the fight against
ALS.
Credit,
they rightly so credit Pete with being responsible for $250 million that was raised. Mm-hmm. What an extraordinary legacy that
Absolutely
is.
Incredible. And then when Pete was battling ALS, the Frates family had said that their medical bills could reach anywhere between $85,000 and $95,000 a month because they had made a promise to keep him at home.
Yeah.
So in order to, you know, handle everything that came along with that.
Yeah.
So he passed yesterday. And, of course, the family has said, if you'd like to extend your condolences, you can make a very much appreciated donation to the Pete Frates Family Foundation.
I have an idea for Boston College. A Pete Frates ice bucket statue next to Wells Crowther, the man in the red bandana. Out in front of the stadium, those two heroes of Boston College who changed the world.
Yeah.
And then you have on one side, you have the Flutie Hail Mary. On the other side, you have Wells and Pete Frates next to
That's
each other.
A great idea. Cool.
That's a really good idea.
Maybe you could get Daddy Curtis to donate
money. Might want to go to grad school so he can pay for that.
Is there any kind of a building name for you that Daddy paid for?
Well, there were parts of libraries. I got in through the Lynch School of Education in the back door.
The bathhouse.
Did you see the latest woman who was arrested in the college scam situation? The woman who paid for her kid to graduate? This is the new one. So previously with Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin, they were paying to get their kids in or paying to have their kids do well on the SATs. Now there's a mom who's accused of paying so her kid could graduate because the kid's grades weren't so good.
I love this. She paid a kid $9,000 to go basically take her son's classes at Georgetown so he would quote-unquote pass.
I mean, these parents, like, you're leaving your child with no way to function in the world on their own.
They can't do it.
They're fixing everything for their kids.
It's ridiculous.
You'd think college would help them, like, you know.
Right.
You know, let's start teaching them some, you know, real-world lessons, experiences, and things of that nature.
She was paying other kids to go take tests for her little precious Johnny so that Johnny could get out of college.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Bill's paying Gerard Mayo to diagram plays for Steve. What the heck's the difference?
I mean, it's just, you have to hold these kids accountable. It's like, I hate to mention this so close to his birthday, but Breece Hill struggled a little bit freshman year. You know, focused a little more on maybe football or whatever else was going on than the actual studying.
Well, that's because as a student athlete, this is one thing that is just a thorn in my side. They make it they make it extremely difficult for student athletes because student athletes are basically working full time jobs as athletes, and then on top of that, you know, they got to be able to do classwork. So it's extremely difficult.
So they get, you know, I get the letter and they're saying, you know, this, you know, you got to do this. Are you coming back? You don't go fix that for the kid. You go, hey, you get your crap together and go. And, you know, if you want to go back, it's up to you. If you don't want to go back, don't go back. But otherwise, you got to bear down and study.
But I do want the experience of, like, game days, partying. I don't really care about school, as you guys all know.
The volcano in New Zealand that erupted has so far claimed the lives of 6 tourists, and they think more people may die because so many of the people that went to the hospital with burns have burns covering, like, 70%+ of their bodies.
Yeah.
This is a really scary thing.
Well, it's scary because it's a tourist attraction. It's a volcano that is a tourist attraction, and there were people. There were people on it that when it erupted.
I'm good.
You wouldn't
So it's like the people that take the helicopter into it.
You walk down into it. It's like an island, and it's only the only thing that people go to the island for is to walk around an active volcano.
And then it erupts, and then you die.
So they could take an Instagram. So there were like
WPS
5.
Yes, all day.
You feel.
Hey, Johnny, you want to go to the volcano?
Yeah, it's like going to Chernobyl.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think I would ever do it, but I feel horrible for these people. They were on it when it just, like, erupted. Like
there were 47 people on the uninhabited island at the time of the eruption, 24 from Australia, 9 from the U.S., 5 from New Zealand, and a few each from a few other countries.
Yeah.
But they're saying, I think 27 or 30 people are in the hospital right now with very severe burns. They're expecting a death toll to go up, but it's holding steady right now at 6. So they have done some recon missions out to the island. They don't believe anyone
is alive. So was it the lava that got them, or was it the smoke?
No, smoke, too. A lot of people have smoke issues. They're on respiratory support at the hospital because their airways sustained so much damage from the smoke inhalation. So every year, I think about 10,000 or so tourists take boat trips out to this white island volcano.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Probably not
anymore. No, there'll be still people doing it.
Hashtag pray for Bahamas. Heads up, the Marines are saying that they're falling real short on Toys for Tots donations this year for a couple reasons. We have a shortened holiday season this year, you know, time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and the deployment of the 1st Battalion, 25th Marines out of Fort Devens took away a lot of the individuals that would usually handle picking up donations, sorting, et cetera.
Yeah.
So according to the Marines locally, last year they gave 183,000 toys to 71,000 local kids. So far this season, they've given 50,000 toys, and they've gotten upwards of 150,000 requests. So they are issuing a plea that if you can get some toys, new unwrapped toys, you can drop them off at tons of different locations. And of course, we have our broadcast next week.
Yeah. I know where they can get 1,000 Santa about to do cocaine sweaters.
Oh.
If Walmart is listening, maybe they could send
teenagers
those over.
Teenagers would love that.
Yes,
like a teenager wearing that to school.
Oh yeah,
then I love cocaine.
So this is a good time to talk about next Thursday because it's our annual Toys for Tots live broadcast happening at Bach Maserati. And Santa Bach will be there. I hope you'll join us. Bring a couple new unwrapped toys. Drop them off. The Marines will be with us. We do this every year, and we end up with thousands of toys. So, and we'll give you free breakfast. We'll have live musical performances, special guests, and Ernie Bach always gives away cash. That's really why most everybody goes. But
pretty much,
he puts a bunch of cash, $100 bills and stuff on the. On the Bachmas tree down there, the Chris Bach tree, whatever it is. And you'll have the chance to, if you're there, to win that. So that's next Thursday, live broadcast, Bach Maserati on the Auto Mile Route 1, which is in Norwood.
Merry Christmas.
Reports are that rising young rapper Juice WRLD may have died after swallowing excessive Percocet pills in an attempt to hide them from the feds. This is panning out to be kind of an interesting story. The initial autopsy, he suffered a medical emergency on Sunday at Midway Airport in Chicago. So a lot of people that were on scene said it looked like he had a seizure and then died. The autopsy was inconclusive so far. However, law enforcement sources spoke with TMZ, and they said that the pilot who was flying Juice's private plane let authorities on the ground know that some of the guy's entourage had guns on them, which is a big no-no when you're flying. So they wound up searching the plane. Not only did they find the guys with guns on them, the guns were all registered, by the way, but they did seize 70 pounds of weed.
I saw that.
Vacuum packed in sealed bags and suitcases. And
would they go without luggage so they could put 70 pounds of weed on a PJ?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And then he was reportedly seen swallowing several Percocets in what people believe was an attempt to hide them, and some are saying that it's possible he overdosed.
Because initially they said he had a seizure or something like that. Well, you travel with that much dope and that much drugs, sometimes, man, you gotta, if you ain't got no toilet to flush it down,
right?
You gotta ingest it.
Obscure traveling with drugs on a plane reference, Goodfellas, the diaper bag.
Yes. Was it a popular artist?
Juice WRLD, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, he had a big hit song.
Bandit, right? Was his big one?
Yeah, he used a lot of auto tunes on his song. But yeah, he's right in there.
Well, obviously, he's got his own private jet. I mean,
yeah,
the guy's obviously doing pretty well.
It was.
Yeah.
I think his song was actually about drugs, too.
Well, there's a shocker.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Scientists at the University of Milan have determined that ancient humans developed the ability to smile for one specific reason, and I don't think anyone will be surprised by this. It was so we could have sex.
Oh, why does anybody do anything? Isn't that the reason?
So
why
we can have sex.
To get the signals of the opposing team.
Yes.
I mean, some of the world's greatest inventions have happened for that reason.
That's correct.
Because men wanted to have sex.
That's correct.
Like, we wouldn't have magic fingers, I'm assuming, if it weren't for that. Or waterbeds.
No.
Sex
on a waterbed is terrible.
Or like those giant back massager things that you guys always claim are they're only for your back.
It's for your neck. There's a warning right on the power cord.
Or lights.
Don't use unsensitive areas.
Or what?
Or lights.
No, the light switch for shutting it off was invented.
The lights are turning them on so we can make a nice video.
Oh,
they can have the proper lighting.
Wiggy's wearing a body cam. It's all heavy breathing.
It's all right.
It's called POV.
I know what it is. The POV with the BBC. Anyway.
One of those referee hats with the camera on it.
What are you talking about?
Come on, Greg. Don't act like you don't know.
Anyway, so the scientists studied genes from Neanderthals, and they found that they smiled to show that they weren't being aggressive, which attracted less aggressive people back to them, and then they'd get it on. Mm. So that's why you're smiling.
You like to know who the first horny dude was that figured out, like the first horny caveman who figured out that if he smiled, he got more ladies.
Yeah, but he was getting the less attractive ones, though. Dude, like, set your sights a little bit higher.
What do you mean?
I don't know that we really had a lot of beauty standards back in the caveman days. Well, it was basically like, Og pull you by ponytail, now you give me pee.
Baby, I am so horny.
Oh, God, load him up. There, speaking of 83-year-old men, there's an 83-year-old man who finally got his Christmas song that he had written 50-some-odd years ago on the radio. This guy's name is Johnny Gondison. And he was a former country band frontman, and he wrote the song Christmas is Here for his kids back in 1965 in Texas. And for years, he tried to get the song on the radio, and he tried to get some airplay, but it never happened. Uh-huh. So in 2014, his kids and grandkids shot a homemade video for the song starring him as Santa, and they wanted people to buy it on iTunes. Well, for whatever reason, it's popped into popularity this season,
really?
And now radio stations are playing it across the country. It's, I mean, we have a little bit.
All right, let's listen to a little bit of it.
What I could do with that. And I stayed up to 3 o'clock in the morning, and I wrote the song, the words to it. Christmas is here. I would love the song to go all around the whole world, and all the children could hear it. I'm 83 now. I want something to happen to this song before, you know, I go meet my maker.
The chimney.
Bucket list.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that new Taylor Swift Christmas song is actually pretty good.
Oh, God.
I hate to. What do you mean? It's really good.
You're
have you heard
basic.
It?
It's basic.
Christmas Tree Farm or whatever it's called.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's not basic. Like, a guy can like Taylor Swift. I understand.
You're only saying that because you're a guy that likes Taylor Swift.
You were shimmying down the hallway at 5:15 this morning.
I was, I was singing it.
Yeah, I don't know if a guy can like Taylor Swift.
What do you mean?
Or if you do like Taylor Swift.
You're so judgmental.
Maybe that's something you want to keep to yourself if you are a guy.
Why? Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Usually I thought she kind of catered to, like, teenage girls.
No,
that's a lot of dudes that like Taylor Swift.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like her music or like to
Yeah, this is it right here. Turn this up. In the barn, we run inside out from the cold. In the town, kids are dreaming of sleighs, and they're warm and they're safe. They wait to see a blanket of snow. Sweet dreams of holly and ribbon. The stakes are forgiven, and everything is icy and blue. And you would be there too. Under the mistletoe, watching the fire glow, and telling me I love you. There's a 617 text about the mistletoe. If you kiss somebody under the mistletoe at work, is that an inappropriate thing to do?
Hashtag me too. Didn't we learn anything last year? Mistletoe is verboten. You can't have that anywhere.
I think they're even banned. I don't even think you can bring them in work.
I don't think you can even get mistletoe. It's like black market at this point.
We should ask the Patriots video team if that's cheating. I mean, does that count as cheating if you're kissing somebody under mistletoe? You're just trying to participate in a holiday tradition. I mean, is there any? I don't think that's
well. If the person you're kissing is not your girlfriend or your wife or somebody you're in a relationship with, I would.
But it's a holiday tradition. That I mean, what are you matter. Supposed
you're
to
you're trying
do?
To do you're like international to, waters argument right now.
It's, it's like a peck on the cheek. Like what's the?
It's, well, when you, has any? Hold on a second. When has any guy in an office ever attempted to go in for the peck on the cheek innocently under the mistletoe? No, they don't. They either dangle it from their zipper or they turn their head at the last second so you get full on lip.
I can't wait to see you tonight.
They're walking around with a mistletoe.
Right?
Just going up to all the hotties.
Curtis has one of those mistletoe belts. I don't know if you've ever seen those or not.
How come you're leaving the fuglies out, though? How come you get the mistletoe, you never want to go kiss the fuglies?
What is wrong? Was he always like this? Was he like this prior to this show,
no,
Ken?
Danielle has somehow the streams have crossed. And
Danielle's made him worse.
Likewise. Hello.
Yeah. Hello, Dan. Sorry, Dave. Dave, what's up?
Hey, not much. I had a couple points.
Go ahead.
One, have you ever heard... Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. What's up?
Hey, have you ever heard Bill Belichick actually answer a question on OMF without being smug?
Bill Belichick... No, I mean, he's somewhat smug. I mean, are you referring to the way he answered the taping question yesterday?
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
But
that's,
two,
yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
but my other thing was listening to you this morning. You're feeding into what all these haters across the country are. First you say, and I'm pretty sure it was you, Greg, why would they be sending a film crew out to see the Cincinnati Bengals when they're their next opponent?
Yeah.
Well, the advanced scout wouldn't be there if they weren't playing them. So what would the point be?
Yeah.
And then you said as well that the I just lost my train of thought. But then you said they've lost two games in a row. Well, the video crew was there before we lost our second game. So I mean, you were wrong on both counts.
Yeah.
You guys get on Wiggy for being a honk, but at least you know he's not falling. He's not trolling for the haters.
Well, right. No,
I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe. Danielle,
I just this is what drives me nuts. There's a lot of people who have, like Wiggy or Nick, or Curtis, who have. I won't include Curtis in this, but they have Patriots sycophant syndrome,
okay,
where the Patriots can do no wrong. And so I'm not saying that the Patriots cheated. I'm just asking the question. If your modus operandi previously was to tell people who worked for you that if you're ever caught filming signals, say that you were working for a Patriot private television production organization and that that's why you're taping things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened in this case. And it's not okay to ask a question about why that's going on.
Well, like, I think you're letting your past history cloud your judgment and your view of things. And I stand to look at, it's not about being an extreme honk. It's about going, okay, let me look at the situation and really see, is there something that they could actually be doing there? Or is this something that people are just trying to troll or trying to pander on to push their narrative? And when you look at it, you got to start factoring in the things. That's the difference. That's what I will say about, you know, people that are honks. At least we will try to line up a lot of different evidence to figure stuff out, where the anti-honk just goes, they're cheating, they're cheating, they're cheating, they're cheating.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not.
They handed over the all the video. What? They were in plain sight.
But what else are they going to do? You're acting like this was a story that was fabricated by the media.
But if they really wanted to cheat, though, listen, if they really wanted to cheat that bad, you think they would make it that they would be in that in such plain sight where it'd be so easy for people to go, wait a second, there's something going on here. Are they that dumb? Are they the world's dumbest criminals?
No, they're so dumb that they don't know that the NFL policy is that you alert the team as to exactly what you're doing and get the permission to do it beforehand. So that's how dumb they are, right?
I will say this about Belichick, though. If the fact that he tries to play this as dumb, that he has no clue what's going on, is difficult for me to believe. A guy that knows all aspects of that operation, everything within one Patriot place goes through him. But knowing that, there is no way in hell he's willing to jeopardize this dynasty over a couple possible signals that he can steal from the Bengals in a game they're favored by 10 points to win.
Well, you think that.
Do you think this is something they ran by him? They said, hey, Bill, we're doing this thing on the Patriots website. Do your job. We want to follow an advanced scout. We're going to send them to the next game. We're going to get some footage of them there.
If that's exactly what they were doing, I don't think he has any idea. I don't think he has any idea.
Right, they're not going to him about that. He's like, listen, I'm worried about Cincinnati and the football game. I'm not worried about all the nonsense that you're doing for the Kraft Sports production. There's probably a whole nother side that takes care of that stuff.
But that's if you're buying that's the explanation. It's theoretically possible that the intent was to go and get whatever you could get by filming, and then if you're caught, say that you're doing this.
I'm going on Bill's explanation. He said it in that audio yesterday on OMF that, hey, listen, I don't have any control of what they do with the Kraft Sports production. We're unaware of it in the football department. It's something that has nothing to do with us.
But what, Ken?
Do you think he's biased at all, Wiggy? Do you think Bill has like an incentive?
Do you believe that he would jeopardize? And Curtis brought up, Curtis, what were your two options again?
Here are your two options. Either you believe that Bill Belichick is willing to jeopardize his entire 20-year dynasty,
Has he been willing to do that in the past?
When this first occurred, there was no dynasty. That was 2006.
Right.
And he was filming that entire time.
What about the three Super Bowls, by the way?
What about Deflategate?
Deflategate was a nothing, okay? Deflategate was erroneously reported by Chris Mortensen, which created a fake story that was spun by a national media that hated the Patriots. That is what Deflategate was. And in this instance, I do not believe for a second that Bill Belichick is willing to jeopardize 20 years of dominance over game film with the Bengals. So your option is either he's willing to do that, he wanted to cheat, do it at all costs, in brazen, plain sight in Cincinnati, or you believe this is a couple guys who were in the wrong place at the wrong time, doing a documentary that Belichick didn't know about. Those are the two options.
And I'm going to go with the couple guys doing the documentary and just not knowing all the NFL rules.
Well, then those employees should be let go.
Because they made a mistake?
Yeah. They should disappear.
So you should be fired because you don't know.
They should disappear to the same place that the two equipment guys who weren't deflating footballs
give them the guillotine.
Yeah. Those two guys. There's a million rules in the NFL, and you happen to overlook, you know, one rule.
Those two football deflators haven't been seen. They're probably in that volcano in New Zealand. They haven't been heard from in the last 7 years. Where did those two guys go?
They're out there. They're walking around. You just haven't been looking.
They're on with Mutt tonight.
I was going to say, why isn't Lou more concerned about those guys than what happened with Malcolm Butler? You know, I want to know where those guys are. All right. I believe we're going to talk to one of the Bengals radio play-by-play guys.
Local guy Dan Horde, who is now the Bengals radio voice, will join us next.
Very worked up about that, and he will join us next.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI. Never been in love. before. What the feelings, yo? Once upon a time I was a. I don't even wanna no more. Got you something from the liquor store. Little bit of Lizzo and some more. Trying to open up a little more. Sorry if my heart a little slow. I thought that I didn't care. I thought I was loving fair.
Is that Wiggy's choice this morning?
Yep.
Wiggy, who's that?
Lizzo.
Lizzo?
Lizzo, no, you didn't.
She's talented.
Very talented. Very
but
talented.
I prefer Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah, we know that. You mentioned that many times.
Well, you
many
keep
times.
Saying Lizzo's my choice. And
well,
I...
no, I'm not saying that. I just throw that out there every once in a while.
He just likes to mention Lizzo.
She's talented, though. She's extremely talented.
I mentioned that Dan Hoard, who is the voice of the Cincinnati Bengals, would be joining us this morning, and Dan is here right now. Hey, Dan.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We are wondering how this Patriots videotape incident is playing in Cincinnati this morning.
Yeah, about how you would expect. Uh-huh. I'm sure in New England, everybody is going, come on, there's no way the Patriots were doing that. And here in Cincinnati, people are going, huh, what's that all about? So the two fan bases have something else to debate this week.
See? See, we actually need to cheat to beat a team that's 1-12.
Yeah, you know, I honestly, when I heard this stuff yesterday, I'm inclined to believe what the Patriots said, just because it seems so inconceivable to me that they could do the exact same thing that cost them a first-round draft pick and a lot of money, 12 years apart, with the exact same playbook. It's just nobody could be that dumb, right? On the other hand, I used to be in TV news, and if I'm doing a story on the advanced scout and I'm shooting B-roll, I'm shooting him. I'm getting footage of him writing things in his notebook or looking at his laptop or walking to and from the stadium. That's the footage that's going to go into your story. You don't set up a tripod and shoot the field for a quarter. So it's strange. But the NFL has the footage. They'll look at it and they'll make a determination.
I mean, I guess it could be a self-inflicted wound, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
It's just a dumb mistake that is made with absolutely no forethought as to how it's going to be perceived. But
right.
It certainly is something that they don't need right this moment.
Well, I think the biggest thing, Dan, and one of our producers, Chris Curtis, brought this up, and he was spot on. Why would Bill Belichick want to put any thought out there, especially to ruin his legacy after everything he went through with the whole Spygate thing? Why would he put himself in that position? Is he that just brazen, or is he stupid? And I don't think it's either one of those two. I think he had nothing to do about this, and he said it. I didn't know nothing about it, and it just was a mistake that their film crew made, and we're ultimately here in New England. We're seeing what happens, and the rest of the world instantly goes, we're cheaters.
Yeah, the one thing I would say, and I agree basically with what you're saying, as I said, I'm just inclined to believe the Patriots for the word they put out last night, because it just seems too dumb to be true that they would do that, and it's almost exactly the way that they were accused of doing it in 2007. So that just doesn't seem like Bill Belichick and his people could possibly be that dumb. But the one thing I would say from the Bengals' perspective, I hope nobody in New England is somehow blaming Cincinnati for this. I mean, what they saw in the press box is illegal. It's against the NFL rules. So to simply ask the NFL to investigate is exactly what they should have done. And again, the NFL has the footage. If they determine that, hey, this was an innocent mistake, I think that's what's going to come out. But when I see people like freaking out that somehow the Bengals are stupid for even bringing this up, they're not, because what was taking place in the press box is illegal.
Yeah, that's a diversionary tactic.
Right, but I don't think we're doing that around here, right?
You blame the accuser. No, I don't think anybody's done that. And with regard to Bengals players and or coaches, any chance that they use this or that they comment on that leading up to this game, or do you think they're smart enough to stay away from it?
I think they're smart enough to stay away. What are they going to do? You know, they don't want to add any more fuel to the fire when the Patriots have dropped two in a row. I mean, the Bill Belichick career record after two straight losses has to be about 7,002 or something like that. So I think the Bengals players certainly are going to try to tiptoe around that as much as they possibly can.
All right. And then any feeling in that city that you guys might pull off a win here come Sunday?
Probably not, but I will say this. The Bengals are playing better. Since they went back to Andy Dalton a couple of weeks ago, they played pretty well. They put 451 yards on the board last week against Cleveland and just lost that game because they were awful in the red zone. They scored one touchdown on five trips. But when they had Ryan Finley, their fourth-round rookie quarterback, in there for three games, they really didn't stand much of a chance. He's just not ready. I don't know if he'll ever be ready, but he didn't play well in those three games. Andy's come back. It's given the offense some confidence. Joe Mixon's playing great. The defense has been pretty competent against anybody but Baltimore. So I would expect the Bengals to play reasonably well. Will that be enough to beat the Patriots? Seems hard to believe, but stranger things have happened.
Well, they better change those signals up. Ken?
Well,
yes, what?
Real quick, Dan, have you seen the footage, or has anybody you know in the organization seen the footage?
Nobody that I personally know.
Okay.
I have not.
Obviously, somebody there has watched it and sent it on to the league, right?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, I'm aware that the Bengals security people were involved on Sunday in investigating what that was all about and sending it on to the league, so I'm guessing that they have seen it.
All right, Dan, thank you.
You bet.
That is the latest from Cincinnati, where they want to make sure that we all know they didn't do anything other than their obligation to report. If you see it,
right.
It's like that Seinfeld final episode. If you see a crime, you have an obligation to report it.
Right, in Latham, Massachusetts.
Right.
That was a great point, though, from Dan. This video will tell us a lot, because if the video is of the opposing sideline and coaches, why in God's name would the Patriots do your job be filming that for a documentary on an advanced scout? You'd be filming the advanced scout doing the work. You wouldn't be filming the other sideline.
I don't know the answer to this, but a texter says that Dan is incorrect, and it is not against the rules to film the opposing sideline from the press box. But Yes, it is.
Most certainly it is. But Belichick admitted to such yesterday with OMF. It is distinctly against it. They can't film it from anywhere in the stadium.
Yeah. This is Mike from Florida. Hello, Mike.
Morning, guys. How are we doing today?
What's going on, Mike?
This whole thing. It brings a whole new meaning to we're on to Cincinnati. Yes, you're on to them because you have video of them. I'm just joking there because it is crap. You know, it's crap, and there's no competitive advantage gained by what they were doing if in fact they were doing exactly as it seems. That being said, everything outside of Patriots Nation is geared towards discrediting this team. Now, with everything that they have been accused of doing that has tarnished the reputation of Belichick, Brady, of the organization as a whole over the years, with all of that, they have to be more conscious of doing things like this than any team in sports. Now, because of that consciousness, you would think that they would be aware of everything that was going on with every aspect of anything, any entity that has a connection to the franchise. So that being said, this to me is like if I was, you know, accused or convicted of bank robbery, what are people going to think if I'm sitting outside of Bank of America all the time?
With a bandana on. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
It just drives me nuts because it's just another one of those things that I have to sit here and listen to all these Patriot haters. Oops, see, I told you so. You guys are cheaters. None of your Super Bowls really matter because you did it the wrong way, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God. And it's just, I wake up this morning, it's just another thing for me to have to defend, and I'm so sick of it.
Well, no, it's just, if there's no evil intent, it's just pure stupidity.
Oh, that could be it, but we'll see if it is true. I think Curtis had made this point. If it is true that the NFL is really trying to bring down the Patriots here and they want to see the Patriots crumble and fall because it's Patriot fatigue, we'll find out if it's true, because what the league should do is come out right away and say, Here's what we found. We found nothing. We looked at the videos. There was nothing on there that would incriminate the Patriots in any way. The investigation shows that it was just a miscommunication. If the NFL does that and doesn't drag their feet on this and make this thing linger and hold it over the Patriots' head and hold it over, you know, out there for the national media to say, oh, what's going on with the Cincinnati thing, blah, blah, blah. We'll know if the NFL is really about, hey, investigating something, getting the word out there, and either, you know, telling us there was something done wrong or if there was nothing done wrong.
That is such – it's such a honk take that the NFL doesn't want the Patriots.
Oh, it's true.
It's
absolutely true.
They burned the tapes the last time, for God's sakes.
Forget about the last time. The entire nation is sick of the Patriots. The Super Bowl last year was not highly rated. People are tired of Brady. The national media is sick and tired of writing about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Last weekend, you saw Booger and his crew from Baltimore take away two touchdowns from the Patriots, trying to prevent them from getting the number one overall seed and getting them back to the Super Bowl.
You were delusional.
So what do you think happens, right? And Curtis is spot on. What do you think happens if the league, here it is, what's today, Tuesday, if the league doesn't come out with some type of conclusion by Friday? Before this game,
their silence is speaking volumes. Every day, every minute, they don't comment on this. It's allowing the story to fester, and that's
right.
Exactly what they want.
They want that.
Absolutely. They hate Bill Belichick. You think Goodell wants to do any favors for Belichick?
I'll tell you what speaks is the fact that Belichick spoke so much about this, and the press release was out there right away. The Patriots are nervous.
No,
they
Patriots said, you know what, let's put our statement out there because...
Oh, you had a prime opportunity to use nip it in the butt right there.
let's nip it in the butt right now. Let's nip it in the butt and squeeze that pimple. Because if we
scratch it.
But now we got to squeeze it, Danielle, because if we don't, we'll never get it better. But if we don't nip it in the butt right now, the rest of the world, forget about the rest of the league, they're going to be like, uh-oh, here are the Patriots. Here they go, cheating again. And if Bill comes out with one of his, you know, legendary Bill comments and quotes is like, we're just talking about the game.
Yeah, but we're on to Cincinnati.
He comes at now, but now it's what does the NFL do by Friday? If we don't hear nothing Friday, and then it starts to linger and linger and linger, it's the NFL saying, let's keep the story going.
Hello, Ryan.
Hey, maybe I'm wrong on this, but didn't the report say that the Browns gave them permission to film in the press box?
Right, this guy, but not to film the other sideline.
Yeah, to film the guy that they were profiling, the advanced scout for the Patriots, who was scouting the Bengals. They had permission to film him. They are not allowed, I guess, to film the sidelines, which is what they were doing.
Who wouldn't it be on the Browns then to report that to the NFL, not the Bengals?
I believe it came...
Browns? What are we talking about? This is the Bengals. This is all the Bengals. This has nothing to do with the Browns.
I understand, but they were playing the Browns. The Browns were the home team. That gave them the permission to film in the press box. So wouldn't it be on the Browns officials to say, hey, we gave them permission to film?
I believe it was a Bengal official who noticed that they were filming.
Right.
And began then, filming their filming to have evidence of what the Patriots were doing and alerted the NFL.
I'm going to film you, filming me, filming you.
Everything is on film everywhere you go anyway.
Filming the police officer, filming the altercation.
And then said, hey, listen, the Patriots are you probably said they're doing something shady here.
Yeah.
Get security up here, take their camera. Figure out what they're doing,
Right. Send
it to the NFL. The NFL then got it and goes, you know what? We hate the Patriots. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sit on this thing. Hey, Roger, just like you're sitting on AB, put this thing right next to the AB and let's just sit on them.
They said this is Spygate 2. It's Browngate.
That's it.
All right. We'll be back with more on this and other things.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.